chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And the second one will be in Romans, but I'll lead you to that when we get there. Shall we pray first and ask God to help us as we read the Bible? Our Father God, thank you for communicating with us right now through these words that we'll read from the Bible. Thank you for eyes and ears, our minds and our hearts, to see and understand the world. We admit we actually only see a tiny bit of what's around us, let alone understand it all. And that's why as we read these most challenging and life-changing words today, we're going to ask you, we're asking you, God, to open our eyes, our ears, our minds and our hearts to what you are telling us. Amen. So, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then will you turn to Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5. Verses 6 to 8. Oh, and that page is 914. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you.
I'd like to invite the kids to come up for the kids' talk.
Who would take a bullet for me? Let's ask God to help us as we come to a time thinking about that and ask him to help us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please be with us now. Help us if we've got a head full of rocks or a heart full of stone, a heart that is hard like stone. Please open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes so that we might see the glorious truth, the wonderful truth, the liberating truth of your love for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What have you done for me lately? When Janet Jackson, the sister of the more famous Michael Jackson, sung that, "What have you done for me lately?" she was angry. She was scary angry, actually. How can you say that you love me if you haven't done anything for me? If you haven't done anything, if you won't do anything, if you can't be bothered to do anything for me, how can you say you love me? There's no getting around that, really, is there? If you say you love someone, you ought to be able to demonstrate that. Words alone just don't cut it. A young man called Noah demonstrated this, I think, to his girlfriend, Shelby, when he put himself in front of her as a gunman shot into the crowds at a music festival in Las Vegas last year. He took a bullet, one that would have hit her, The followers on Twitter said, you should probably marry him. He's a keeper. More tragically, back in 2012, Matt McQuinn dived in front of his girlfriend, Samantha. He took three bullets that were meant for her as they sat and watched a film in a cinema, and he died in the Aurora cinema shooting. Died. Taking bullets for her, protecting her. What have you done for me lately? It's quite some answer, isn't it? To be able to say, risked my life for you, took a bullet for you, even. Although you don't get to then enjoy this, gave my life for you. The question is raised, though, to God all of the time. What has God done for me lately? If he even exists, and if he does, why do I experience so much tough stuff in this world? Why is my life so rubbish? If he's there, if he can do something for me, why do I not see that? What has he done? Why doesn't he do something? This morning and for the next three Sundays, we're going to be giving some answers to that question, what has God done for me? And those answers might start to sound a little bit the same, but they're all different. They're all building up a picture of what God has done for us. And to help us to begin then, I want you to think for a moment, not who would take a bullet for me, who would you take a bullet for? It's not the sort of question that you often think about, but think about it now. Who would you take a bullet for, and why would you do that? If you're in the American Secret Service, it's your job to take a bullet, just like Tim McCarthy took a bullet to save President Ronald Reagan back in 1981. It's his job, it's his duty. He could even say it was his privilege. One of those Thai Navy SEALs involved in that rescue in the news recently died in the recent youth soccer team rescue. But that was his duty and his job. Noah and Matt, who we've already mentioned, showed some sort of instinct based on love, you'd say. That's why they did it. But also, total strangers have acted in this way as well, haven't they? Someone's given their life to save someone else whom they know absolutely nothing about. There's no known credentials that would make you, you know, feel you had to save them, like this is the President of the United States. In fact, probably best not to say I'm the President of the United States. You know what I mean? But there's no requirements either. It's not my duty. It's not my job. I'm not compelled to do this by my training. There's no existing relationship. Of course I give myself for you. I love you. Strangers have done that for strangers. And it looks amazing. But here's a different situation. Consider this. As of last Monday, July the 9th, 2018, there were 2,711 inmates on death row in the United States, a country that still does capital punishment. Many of those cases are clear-cut cases of the worst crimes, most horrifying things imaginable. And after all of the legal process and appeals have been exhausted, the time for execution comes, sooner or later. At that point then, you don't see people stepping forward to take their place, to offer their own life in the place of the condemned criminal. Here, let me take that lethal injection instead of you. Here, let me sit in that electric chair instead of you. It just doesn't happen because what they've done is so known, it's so clear. What's happening in that sense of justice is deserved. It's been done through due process. There are consequences to those actions, and now justice is being served. It seems impossible that anyone could be found to take their place. Take that injection, take that shock. But what we'll see this morning is that that is far closer to what we have in what God has done. So there's some good news and there's some bad news. Sounds a bit like a joke. It's not a joke. You know those jokes where a man gets a call from his doctor, I have some good news and some bad news. Okay, give me the good news first. The good news is you have 24 hours to live. Oh no, the man says. If that's the good news, what's the bad news? Bad news is I forgot to call you yesterday. It's not just that the good news is only a slightly less bad version of the bad news. The bad news here is worse than we could ever imagine. It's an absolute disaster that we can't even get our heads around. We haven't fully appreciated it, even those of us who've thought about it a bit. But the good news is also mind-stretchingly amazing. Better than we ever imagined. It beggars belief. It's staggering. And it's all focused on a cross on which a Jewish carpenter died 2,000 years ago. It happened indisputably in history. But why did it happen? Well, our question this morning gives us a clue as to one of the reasons why it happened, as do the questions for the next three Sundays. So please keep coming back. There's more. But today, who would take a bullet for me? And the answer is Jesus. As he died on that cross for me, here's why. Let's have a look then at the bad news. This bad news that is worse than you ever imagined. Firstly, this bad news is about anger. Who's got an angry face? Show it to me. Okay, I've got an angry face. My kids know it. It's when the lines go vertical. There's surprise, horizontal, then there's vertical. And usually surprise changes to vertical. Anger. We all get angry. Why do we get angry? Don't answer that. Let me tell you. Things people say and do that we think they shouldn't have done. Things people don't say or do that they should have done. We can get angry about all of those things. Keith gave us a good example of lots of things that people possibly get angry about as well in the kids' talk. Younger people, you get angry when other young people nick your stuff, spoil your fun, hurt you, don't help you, don't include you. Others get angry at you for the same reasons. You get angry with your parents, and yes, on the odd occasion, your parents get angry with you. Us older ones can get really angry with each other, can't we? For all sorts of reasons. But the one thing I think we can agree on is that if there's anger, then there's some bad news somewhere. It's coming from some bad news. It's there because there's some bad news around. And the bad news we need to understand today, though, is not that we get angry over how other people behave or that they get angry over how we behave. It's that God is angry about how everyone is behaving. God is angry. If he created us, this is the claim, if he designed this world and its universe, we exist only because of him. And if, therefore, he knows how he's designed everything to work for the best good of everyone and everything, and he's told us that, he's not just given us a sense of that deep down in our inmost being, as we've got that thing called a conscience whereby we know what is right and what is wrong instinctively. Yes, that's from him, but he's also spoken to us at many times and in various ways. He's let us know how to live, how to make things work. He says things like, love me, your creator, with all of your heart and your soul and your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the good life. And so if all of that is true, but we ignore it, we turn away, we ignore him and just decide to do our own thing, and we end up then hurting ourselves and we hurt others, it shouldn't be a surprise that he is angry about it, because he cares about what he's made and who he's made. He's angry at the mess we make of things, the way we treat each other, the way we treat him. And God tells us in the Bible, we've got it up on the slide. Romans 1 verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Godlessness. It's not like God. It's the opposite of God. Wickedness, we know what that is. This mess that we're all a part of and are afflicted by and which we inflict on others. God is angry with all of that. And it's the word wrath. I mean, it's a particular type of anger. Very, very strong word. But it's not God's lost it. He is righteously angry. And God's anger, his wrath is being revealed against human wickedness. God is angry about our lives, including our lives. And he's revealed his anger by letting us go that way. You want to go that way, here you go. That's bad news. And that's why the world is in the mess that it is. But that's not all. Because the bad news is also about justice. So, have a look again. I know, I'm not there yet. We'll put the slide up, but justice is in view. Justice requires that actions get what they deserve in terms of consequences, either punishment or reward. Generally, people like the idea of justice, don't they? Except when it's coming to me. I like it less then. But deep down, we know it's a good thing and that injustice is a bad thing. Society can't function without justice. If all of us are just making it up as we go along, making up laws as we each decide and making up punishments and being judge, jury and executioner, the world would be much more of a mess than it already is. Because justice requires that actions get what they deserve, and that's what our next slide shows us in Romans chapter 2. Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, this is what's happening. As we continue not to go God's way, we're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay to each person according to what they have done. So what have we done? He will repay. So what have we done? Now, at this point, we tend to go into interview mode, don't we? And we start selling ourselves and bigging up the positives, glossing over the negatives. Focus on those positives. It's amazing, isn't it, how glossy we can become in an interview. But even then, when we behave like that, as I think we tend to do, and we start using our good things to cover our bad things, we're becoming what's called self-righteous. Which in itself is not really a great thing. And so here's the situation. I've got a bit of a picture for us, and I'll get some of you involved. I'll just pick people that I really know quite well, because then they won't hit me. Everything that we do that stores up God's wrath, every sin is represented by a sticky note. I've left them blank because you can put your own sin on there in your own mind. So I'm going to give some out. Here's one. Ben supports Liverpool, so that's clearly a sin. Collingwood supporter. Don't know what yours is, Beth, but there you go. There's something there. Do you want one of those? There you go, I'll pop that there. Keith, there we go. And there. There's a whole family here. There you go. There you go. So look, I could give those out all over the place, all right? Sticky note. Everything that we do that stores up God's wrath is represented by one of them. Now, I've given out a few there, just one to just a few people. The reality is much more like this. But that's on the outside, not just on the outside. It's on the inside. And there's layers. Layers of this stuff. Building up, building up. And there's a thing coming. The day of God's wrath, God's righteous judgment is coming. Now, how to represent that? I've got something that will help us. It's not a bullet. It's a missile. God's righteous judgment is coming. Not represented by a bullet now, a missile. You can dodge a bullet. You cannot dodge this. Not a heat-seeking missile. This is a sin-seeking missile. It locks onto sin. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It is coming for anyone who looks like that, which is all of us. It's locked on. The just consequence for the way we've all lived our lives is God's wrath. Being revealed now, yes, but coming. Revealed now and letting us go our own way, but to be expressed fully and finally on a day of judgment. Now that is unimaginably bad news. I don't think we've even thought about it in those terms for a while, those of us who spend a lot of time in church. And it's bad news because the consequence is outside of the realm of our own experience. Even in this world where God's anger is being revealed, it is still the world He made. There is goodness in this world. It still bears the marks of the glory of God. He makes the rain fall on the wicked and the righteous. Imagine if all goodness was absent, though. Just imagine for a moment what it was like for 9 days for those kids in that cave in utter darkness. And even there was still some goodness. Dripping water, the slight glimmer of hope of rescue, relationship within that soccer team and with their coach there. There was still some goodness, but it must have been a nightmare. What will we feel when there is nothing of God's goodness? Because in rejecting God, we walked away from life and hope and any goodness at all. What will we feel when He gives us what we wanted in this life, a life without God, and He gives it to us forever? We can't imagine what that is like. God's wrath revealed finally in His just judgment. That is the bad news. But time then for the good news. Time for good news, isn't it? Really? Here it is. The good news is about Jesus. So this missile is locked on. God's judgment is coming. It's locked on to sin that deserves God's wrath. How does this bad news get sorted out? By Jesus on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8 that we read earlier. It's up on the screen again. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless to change the situation, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die For a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, do you see, this is like that death row scenario. Who will jump in when we're so guilty? Righteous person? If you were righteous, yeah, someone might do that. Really? If you're a good person, or at least someone I like, possibly. But sinners who deserve it. Whew. People who have caused intense anger, wrath from God. It's us in view here. We're all under the sentence. God's judgment is locked on, but because of his love, Christ died for us. He died for us. He demonstrated God's love for us. So how did Jesus' death achieve this? Well, the good news is Jesus turning aside God's wrath. Two more scriptures. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Then also 1 John 4 verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So to atone is to make at one. God and us made at one. That's why it's an atoning sacrifice. So Jesus sacrificed himself to make us at one with God. So back to the picture. God's judgment is coming to each of us. What happens now? Baz is written on his. Good grief. There we go. Can I take that back from you? I'll relieve you of that burden. Where's that one that was down here? There it is. Let me gather them all up. There we go. Thank you. What happens now? Jesus takes them. He puts them on here. It's far more powerful if you actually come up and do it yourselves, actually, but saving some time. But on here, lying, stealing, selfishness, anger, Collingwood supporter, dodgy tax return, bad thoughts, jealous, swap the sugar and the salt, greedy, grumbled, tampered with a cricket ball, didn't tell the whole truth, disobeyed my parents. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. But Jesus takes all of that on himself. And so God's judgment is coming. But it's not going there anymore. Or there, or there, or there. Where's it going now? God's judgment explodes on Jesus on the cross. That is what he has done to take away sin. There's my sin if I accept his offer to put it there. He's paid for it. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Jesus dived in the way of God's judgment. He turned aside God's wrath, coming to us, and took it on himself. How good is that? Was punished in my place. God's anger spent. God's justice satisfied. Salvation possible. That was the good news. Here's the breaking news. What's God done for you and me lately? Well, he hasn't taken a bullet. He hasn't even taken a missile. He has taken away eternal judgment against human sin for those who accept his gift. Like it or not, our sin is a bigger issue than we care to admit. Here's the picture again, up on the screen. This is what we've got to remember. This is what we're like. We've got sin all over us, all inside of us. And either we stand before God like that. Who would want to do that? Or we accept what Jesus has done in taking all of that on himself. And I point to him and I say, he has saved me. You can either reject Jesus or accept what he's done. But none of us can say that he hasn't done anything for us. That he hasn't demonstrated a magnitude of love that we will struggle for all of our lives and beyond to get our head round. Because none of us can erase the cross of Jesus Christ from history. It happened. There we go. You may have some questions. You can speak to me afterwards. Very, very, very happy to talk with you. You might have been stirred up. There's an opportunity after our time to come down to the front here and pray confidentially with someone. That'll be a wonderful thing for you to do. That's there for you if you need. You can also sign up to do something called Christianity Explored, whereby with a group of people together, we get to look at this in more detail and we bring all of our questions and we put them on the table and then we see what Jesus has done on the pages of Scripture. In history, he's done it for us and we see how that all works out. You can sign up for that at the welcome desk with Lisa. Let's just pray and have a moment of quiet. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, your love that you pour out on us, that we don't deserve. What we deserve are those consequences of your perfect justice, and instead you demonstrate your love in giving Jesus Christ to die in our place. We pray for the mess our world is in. We hear of all sorts of tragic and devastating events, wars and suicide bombings, intense famines and natural disasters, all of which demonstrate how this world seems to be groaning and its people seem to be groaning for light and life and hope. Even here in Australia, with all that we have, where we should be happiest, we're in fact the unhappiest we've ever been. We all have our struggles. And more than that, we all need you more than we ourselves care to admit. For only you can satisfy. Only you can give hope that can withstand even the worst that we can face in this world. Because you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he has turned away your wrath, and we can be forgiven and we can begin to live life that truly is life. And please make these times together as we focus on the cross, times that challenge us and stir us up, but please use them to warm us up from the inside, to ignite a fire within us that is full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And help us to respond, to understand not to put off till tomorrow what can be done today, for today is the day of salvation. The time to be saved is now. Because Jesus has died, Jesus did rise again, the first to do so. And we can follow too into the life that you give your children that begins now and never ends. May your light shine in us. And may it shine ever brighter in this dark world. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, our Lord. Amen.